A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.
Three-dimensional text appears over a background of blurry colors. A Netflix comedy special. Stage lights flash in a packed theater. A gray-haired man with a mustache, Jeff Foxworthy, takes the stage in a blue button-down, jeans, and sneakers. The title appears beside him, Jeff Foxworthy, The Good Old Days. He smiles at the audience.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you for being here. It is nice to be out of the house, huh? Yes. I don't want to talk about COVID tonight. A couple of things I will mention. I learned a couple of things during COVID. One, I learned from wearing that mask everywhere I went and breathing my own breath. I need to go back and apologize to anybody I have talked to in the last 30 years. Oh my. I had no idea my breath was that bad. Seriously, one day I was in the grocery store and I'm like, has a cow pooped in a gut pile? What is that? Then you're like, oh no, that's me. Something else I learned during COVID, especially during lockdown, is I am not qualified to meet all of my wife's conversational needs. It takes a village, as they say, and I am but one man. I love my sweet little wife to death, but she is a talker. She could talk three dogs off a meat wagon. And she's also what they call a verbal processor, which means every time she has a thought or an idea, she doesn't just think it, she says it out loud. So every morning during lockdown, I would get up and pour myself a cup of coffee, and I would turn around, and there she would be. And every morning it would be like, have you put any thought of where we're gonna go when this pandemic is over? Because I've gotta get out of this house. And talking about out of this house, you are not gonna believe what I found out about the family that moved in down the street. I told you, I thought that lady looked weird. By the way, there's another light burned out in the kitchen, and I can't cook in the dark, so Mr. Buster, if you wanna eat, you might wanna pull the ladder out. Why is it so hot in here? Are you not hot? I am burning up. Robin told me she can't find toilet paper anywhere, that people are hoarding it, and I think there ought to be an express line in hell for anybody that hoards toilet paper. That is so, so wrong. Oh my God, I just saw my butt in the mirror. Why didn't you say something to me? It's getting as wide as a school bus. It's a wonder I'm not knocking lamps off the table. I had the weirdest dream last night. I dreamed that your mother and Will Smith got married, and that's not even the weird part. The weird thing is they were jumping on the trampoline with fireman helmets on and saying their vows. What do you think that is all about? Why are you looking at me like that? Is my hair messed up? All right, now concentrate. I want you to help me think of somebody we can set my cousin Kyle up with. Bless his heart, he's all by himself and he needs somebody. And talking about needs, I need you to look at my car because the check engine light's been on for a while. And when I say a while, I mean a few months. And every time I drive it, there's a burning smell and I don't think it's supposed to do that. Oh my God, what if Kyle is gay and he hadn't come out of the closet yet? Hey, say a little prayer for Chip and Jennifer's grandson. He's getting circumcised today, and speaking of 30% off, that necklace I've been wanting is on sale, so if you want to go ahead and get it for me for my birthday, that would be all right. Hey, if Kyle is gay, do you know somebody we could set him up with? Because you work in show business, and there are a lot of gay people in show business. I know you're going to roll your eyes at this and tell me it's too far down the road, but for next year's 4th of July picnic, should I make potato salad like I did this year, or should I make that baked macaroni stuff with the feta cheese and the tomatoes in that I made a few weeks ago and you loved it? I could do either one. It doesn't really matter to me. And what's the deal with your brother lately? He has become such a moody Judy, I don't even want to talk to him. Why are you making a noose?
Jeff puts a hand on his hip.
Untie that from the ceiling fan and get off the bed. You're messing up all my pillows.
He lowers his hand and steps back and forth.
My day every day during lockdown.
Jeff tucks his hand into his pants pocket, then takes it out.
Now, some good stuff happened during COVID, too. Some really good stuff. I became a grandpa for the very first time during COVID. So And I love this little boy more than any human being on the planet. And my daughter, I don't know how she pulled this off, but somehow she arranged to be able to get on the Jerry Springer show, and we were able to find out who the father is without spending one dime of our own money. So that was great.
Jeff nods with a smirk.
I'm kidding. We have no idea who the father is. Something else great that happened is my mother's flip phone finally broke. That is an event 20 years in the making. Yeah, 1 month into COVID, my mom's flip phone broke, and so we bought her very first iPhone. And if you were to say to me tonight, Jeff, would you rather teach your mother how to text or teach your dog how to wipe his ass? I would probably say, hand me the toilet paper. Let me give that a shot. The texting has been a little bit of a challenge. And my daughters were so excited, you know, that their GABA was finally texting. So they're texting her. One night I get a call from my mom, and she says to me, what is low?
Jeff furrows his brow.
I said, what are you talking about, Mom? She said, Jordan sent me a text, and at the end of it, it said low. I said, how do you spell it? She said, L-O-L. I said, Mom, that's not low. That's laugh out loud. I said, that's what the kids do now. Instead of writing everything out, you know, they just use initials like IDKs, I don't know, OMGs, oh my gosh. You know, I said, that's how they do it. A few nights later, I get a text from my mother that says, IYGTTGSINSK.
Jeff mimes, staring at his phone in his hand.
I'm like, oh God, Mom's had a stroke. I called her up. I said, Mom, what did you just text me? She said, I was doing like the girls do. I said, if you go to the grocery store, I need some ketchup.
Jeff mimes, looking at his phone, and nods.
Well, of course, why didn't I see that? And she loves this iPhone because it has features on it that her flip phone didn't have, like reception. So she called me one night, and I answered because I didn't have anything to do for an hour and a half. And I'm talking to my mom. Well, during the call, my mom mentioned that there had been a couple of break-ins in her neighborhood. And I said, well, Mom, that's a little concerning. She said, I know. She said, that is why I am thinking about getting my carry permit.
Jeff raises his eyebrows.
My mother is 85 years old. Her eyesight is bad, her hearing is worse, and she has the balance of Ron White after midnight. And now she's thinking about getting a pistol. And I said, look, Mom, I said, I am a supporter of the Second Amendment. I said, and you can call me overly cautious. I said, but maybe you shouldn't be packing heat if you're wearing a life alert. Though she could use her pill boxes to sort the bullets in. Yeah. I said, Mom, I said, you might want to think this out. I said, you better hope loading the thing is easier than opening a jar of pickles or you're going to be in trouble. Because she has arthritis, you know, in her fingers. And then I thought, hell, I bet my agent could get her a commercial. You know, my arthritis had gotten so bad that I could barely jack around into the chamber. But thanks to new improved buffering, I can make it rain, dog.
Jeff points his finger like a gun.
You feel me, bruh?
He taps his finger gun against his chest.
I hung up the phone and said to my wife, I said, well, I know what I'm getting Mom for Christmas. I'm going to get her the magnetic holster she can slap on the side of her walker. And I'm getting her husband the bulletproof vest he can wear underneath his cardigan sweater just in case she goes spider monkey during the Wheel of Fortune. And that's where my wife and I are in life right now. Is we got our kids grown, got them out of the house. We had a quick snack. Now we're raising our parents. I swear they passed each other in the driveway. And let me tell you something. I thought teenagers were crazy. Teenagers are a piece of cake compared to old people. They're nuts. I was getting my car serviced a while back, and they called to say it was ready. I called my father-in-law. I said, hey, can you give me a ride to the car dealership? On the way to the dealership, he needed to stop for gas. I learned on that little stop that it is possible to wash your entire car with the squeegee from the gas station. And I know this because I sat in the passenger seat and watched him do it. Well, I sat there until the guy at the next pump started videoing it. Then I slid down in the floorboard because I didn't want to get tagged on Instagram. He got back in the car. I said, you do realize the gas station has got a car wash right there. He goes, yeah, well, that's $6. I'm like, so to save $6, you gave away all your dignity and washed your car with a squeegee and the dirtiest water on the planet Earth. I used to have fantasies about going out with a girl as nasty as the squeegee water at the gas station. He is such a trip. Yeah, and he walks around, he's got his pants up to his nipples now. And he just talks about how the world has gone to hell in a hay wagon and it used to be so much better back in the good old days. Of course, when he describes the way he grew up, it's always tough. You know, it's like, oh, yeah. Yeah, we had no electricity. Me and my brother shared a pair of shoes. We had to walk to school through 5 feet of snow. I'm like, when did it snow 5 feet in New Orleans? But I kind of get what he means about the good old days. Because, think about it, as you get old, technology has changed your entire life. Morality has changed. Society has changed. And all of a sudden, you find yourself living in a world that doesn't make sense to you. So you kind of long for that world where you felt like you had things figured out. And to them, that's the good old days. But it couldn't have been perfect. I was asking my mom about it. And do you know my mom had an outhouse until she was 14 years old? And I said, well, Mom, what would you do in the wintertime if you had to go to the bathroom and it was late at night? She said, we went in a bucket. That's what they called it, a slop jar or a honey pot. That's what they did. They went to the bathroom in a bucket. And I'm thinking, I know how my wife responds to the aroma of a broccoli casserole that has been in the refrigerator one day too long. I cannot imagine her response to a bucket of turds in the living room. And you know, one of the euphemisms for dying is he kicked the bucket. I bet you that's what that's talking about. Hey, baby, I'm sorry, but I accidentally kicked over that bucket there in the living room.
Jeff mimes pumping a shotgun and firing it.
I think if things had been perfect in the good old days, the guy that invented Viagra wouldn't be a billionaire. Because back in the good old days, when God told you you were out of the game, you just walked out in the backyard and started a garden. And the only hoe you were playing with was the one to get the weeds out of the tomatoes. But now, thanks to Viagra, people are playing into their 80s. Let that mental image sink in just a second. Just that pile of flesh, and everything in the pile looks like it needs ironing, you know?
Jeff wears a slight grimace.
I do think it's cool that the nursing homes are now giving the old guys half a tablet a night, you know, just to keep them from falling out of bed. So, kind of a kickstand deal there.
Jeff chuckles to himself.
And now everybody talks about this stuff. You know, back in the good old days, if a man was trying to shoot pool with a rope, he kept it to himself. But now it's a cottage industry. I heard a radio ad the other day where this guy said Thanks to his ED formulas, he could now help men perform for 30, 60, even 90 minutes. And I'm thinking, 90 minutes? Bleh! Oh my gosh, my attention span is not that long. After 20, I'd be like, hey, I'm going to go make a sandwich. You want anything?
Jeff walks toward the back of the stage, then turns to face the audience.
I mean, there is a little something to aging gracefully, right? And I miss my youth. I miss my young body. I would not trade my old mind and soul for it, but I do miss my young body. I remember being a little kid and having energy to burn. When was the last time you had excess energy you needed to burn off? But think about when you were a kid, you had so much energy, you couldn't watch TV just sitting in a chair. You had to stand on your head or be half on the chair and half off, and the commercial would come on and you'd wrestle with each other until the show came back. Hell, if you walked in my house now and you found me watching the TV with my butt on the sofa and my head on the floor, call 911. Because even if I am still alive, there's no way I'm going to be able to get back into a standing position by myself. But I had a great childhood. You know, I played every sport for the recreation center. My parents didn't make me pick one sport because they thought I was going to play professional whatever. I played every sport. And it was weird back then because if you wanted a trophy, you had to finish in first place. It was nuts. So many great memories. Like I remember as a child going to the doctor, and if you behaved yourself and you didn't cry, if you got a shot, you always got to pick out a toy from the treasure chest behind the nurse's station. Anybody remember the treasure chest? Why did that have to stop? Seriously, I wouldn't mind going to the doctor now and him putting on a rubber glove to check my prostate if I knew on the way out I could swing by the treasure chest and get a new spider ring. Yeah. That baby glows in the dark. Turn out the lights. Check that out right there.
Jeff holds out his fingers.
I remember being a kid laying in the back window of the car riding all the way to Florida. Nowadays, because of child car seat laws, you have to be in the sixth grade before you can see where you're going instead of where you just been. You know?
Jeff turns around, then back again.
And nowadays, one of the hardest things in our lives is we have to remember passwords. Nobody can remember their password to anything. There's so many of them. You know, when I was growing up back in the good old days, I only had to remember one password. That was the password to get into our secret clubhouse back in the woods. And it was a beauty. What's the password?
Jeff glances around.
Boobies.
He gives a slight shrug.
It was all we thought about, so why not make it the password? Every meeting I ever remember having in the clubhouse, that's what it was about. And one of my friends, I think he's in prison now, had a theory that if heaven was a perfect place, once you get past the pearly gates, it would just be a giant field of naked boobies and that they'd let you take your shoes off and run around for a little while.
Jeff throws up his arms and twirls. He lies down and rolls across the stage. He gets back to his feet.
I remember thinking right then and there, I'm going to church. I know education is probably better now. I mean, because they test you to see if you have learning differences or if you're gifted, they might give you elevated courses. See, back in the good old days, it didn't matter if you were a genius or if you were eating crayons, you were all in the same class. And they put no thought into what they were teaching us. I remember, like, my 11th grade year of high school, one semester of English was devoted entirely to poetry. Like, what were blue-collar kids from the wrong side of the tracks going to do with poetry? My husband won't fix the broken screen door. Our cat just threw up a dead bird on the floor. I have four little children I constantly feed. So please don't you ask me why I smoke weed.
Jeff Mimes smoking a joint.
Now they're teaching sex education in the fifth grade, starting in the fifth grade. Nobody taught me about sex back in the good old days. My parents told me nothing. My school taught me nothing. Everything I learned about sex, I pieced together for myself. I'm serious, like when I was 11, we had an uncle that raised rabbits. And so we were out at his farm one weekend, and he took a group of us out to the shed where he kept the rabbits. And he had all the males in cages on one side and all the females in cages on the other. And he opened a male's cage, grabbed him by the scruff of the neck, walked over, opened a female's cage, and dropped him in there. And that male rabbit jumped on top of that female rabbit and jackhammered like a hurricane for like 5 seconds. And then he fell off on his back. And everybody was laughing except me. Because I'm like, oh my God, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it that fast. Turns out I had nothing to worry about.
Jeff grabs a water bottle from a nearby stool and takes a sip.
You know, probably the...
He takes out his phone.
The thing that changed most from the good old days to now is this, this little gadget right there. This little gadget changed the world. Now everybody on the planet has one of these in their hand, 24/7, 365. Doesn't matter if you're in a third world country, you might not have enough to eat, you got a phone. See, back in the good old days, my entire family had one phone. It was hardwired into the wall of the kitchen. It came in four possible colors, black, white, harvest gold, and avocado green. We had the avocado green, and my parents actually sprung for the extra long cord. And let me tell you, the phone company didn't cheat you on the extra long cord. Our phone cord was over a quarter of a mile long. My mom could walk down the driveway and check the mail, never quit talking to her sister. You know,
Jeff Mimes holding a phone.
But because the whole family had one phone, you never had any privacy if it was for you. So you learned tricks like you'd run it under the door and go down the hall or sit in the pantry and talk to your boyfriend or girlfriend while your siblings made kissy noises from around the corner. But because you stretched it out so far, remember the downside of the extra long cord? Anybody remember? Yeah, it was always tangled up. Like Aunt Judy's thong after kickboxing lessons. But when it was stretched out, it was almost like a lethal weapon. Like my mom used to talk on the phone when she was cooking. Well, they were on other sides of the kitchen. So one night she's cooking and talking on the phone, and I'm chasing my brother through the house. We round into the kitchen. He never saw the phone cord. He hit it right there. His feet went up in the air, the back of his head hit the floor like wedding night panties. My mom never quit cooking and never quit talking.
Jeff holds the mic to his ear like a telephone. He points at the floor and makes a shushing gesture. He raises his hand threateningly and steps forward, then mimes stirring a pot.
Now, I will say this. Back in the good old days, you got excited when the phone rang. You would race each other to answer the phone because you had no idea who it might be. Might be your grandmother, might be the president of the United States. You didn't know till you picked it up. But now caller ID has taken all the joy out of answering the phone. Now your phone rings, you're like...
He checks his phone.
Oh, hell no, I ain't doing that. Nobody got time for that. And because we stick our phones in our pockets and our purses and things, they're always rubbing up against something, and we're always accidentally dialing people we didn't mean to dial. We call them butt dials. All right, I'm going to see what an honest audience you are. How many people listen more intently to butt dials than they do actual phone calls?
Jeff raises his hand, as do a few audience members.
If somebody butt dials me and I don't have anything to do, I'll stay on for like 20 minutes. I'm like, I have a buddy named Pert. He makes furniture, and Pert always sticks his phone in the front pocket of his blue jeans, so he's always butt dialing somebody. And one night he butt dialed me, and I didn't have anything going on, so I'm just sitting there listening to him walk around his shop. And after about 10 minutes, I hear a door open and I hear a lid go up, and I hear him start to pee. Being the mature adult that I am, I jumped out of my chair, ran into the kitchen to my wife, and I went, "Pert's peeing, Pert's peeing, Pert's peeing." And we put it on speakerphone, and me and my wife stood there and listened to my friend urinate. Oh my God, I hope he farts at the end. I hope he, please, please. What is wrong with us? And here's the fascination with this. You know, the thing that we had mounted on the wall in the kitchen, that was only a phone. This is everything. This is everything we used to go somewhere else to get. Like, people used to stay up late to watch the 11 o'clock news so they knew what the sports scores were and they knew what the weather was going to be. Well, now you have up-to-the-minute radar. You've got the weather for the next 2 weeks, and you've got all your sports updates right there. This thing is your airline tickets, your Bible, it's your flashlight, it's your Rolodex, it's your music library, it's a video arcade. It's a world-class camera. See, some of you younger people don't know this. Cameras used to be separate things, and you would have to buy film and put it in them. And you would take 24 pictures having no idea if they were good or bad or out of focus. And then when you had taken all 24, you would take the film out of it, go to the drugstore, and you'd give it to them where they would process it. And then after everybody that worked at the drugstore had had an opportunity to look at your pictures, they would call you and you would go get them. And you knew they'd look at you, you're picking them up, and they're like, "When'd y'all go to the Grand Canyon?" You son of a bitch.
Jeff wears a slight smirk.
But see, back then, pictures were precious. Even if they were out of focus or somebody's head was cut off, you put them in a photo album because it was your only proof that you had been somewhere. But now you can look at your picture. If it's something's wrong with it, you delete it and take another one. So pictures are no longer precious. We just take pictures of everything. My daughters take pictures of their food. When we're in restaurants, when the waiter puts their plate down, my daughters are like, "Hold on, the camera eats first."
Jeff mimes taking a photo.
They take a picture of their food and send it to their friends. I'm like, hell, when I was growing up, if you ate a delicious waffle, other people had to take your word for it. This thing is amazing. Do you know this thing? If it is lost, it can find itself. Most of us need Jesus to do that, but not this joker.
Jeff holds up his phone.
It can not only find itself, it can find you. It can find anybody in your family. It's a world-class GPS. You put in any direction to anywhere in the world, it will take you right there to it and tell you within the minute what time you're going to get there. See, we didn't have GPS back in the good old days. We had maps. We kept them in the glove compartment of the car. And nobody ever wanted to open them because if you did, you never got it folded back down again. So we were always lost. Hell, when we went on family vacations, the only thing that was recalculating was our dad.
He mimes driving.
"All right, kids, I have changed my mind. Instead of going to Disney World, we're all just going to go in this hardware store and have a look around. How about that?" This thing is amazing. This little thing is more powerful than the biggest computers we had in the world in 1980. All the knowledge in the world right there at your fingertips. You want to know how much an elephant weighs? Ask your phone. You want to know how tall Tom Cruise is? Ask your phone. See, back in the good old days, if we wanted to know something, we had to wait until our cheap-ass parents broke down and bought a set of encyclopedias. And here was the deal. You didn't get them all at one time. You made a down payment, they'd give you the A volume. You keep making payments, a few years later, you'd get the B. So that first year, you could talk very intelligently about Antarctica or aardvarks. But if you had to do a school report on Zimbabwe, you were being held back another year. Because that Z volume wasn't coming till you were in your 30s. And I don't know that having all the knowledge in the world is necessarily a good thing. We're obsessed with it, especially when it comes to like medical stuff. See, back in the good old days, people accepted aches and pains as just part of what went on when you started getting old. But now, anytime we have a little ache or pain, we got to go Google it. You could have a hangnail. You're Googling, what's the best way to treat a hangnail? On rare occasions, hangnails can be an indicator you've had an undiagnosed cerebral hemorrhage. Oh, hell. What's wrong, Lloyd? I'll tell you what's wrong, Connie. 60 seconds ago, I didn't know I had a cerebral, and now apparently the damn thing is hemorrhaged. You get scared to death with medical stuff on your phone. You don't even have to be looking for it. I had a pop-up not long ago that said low back pain can be an early indicator of premature blindness.
Jeff rubs his back.
Hell, I've got low back pain. I thought it's because I helped my wife rearrange the furniture in the den. Why'd I move the couch? Now I'm just going to run into it. I got to get online and order a guide dog while I can still find my laptop.
Jeff mimes typing, then takes a few steps across the stage.
Thing is, it's a TV. No excuse to ever miss the game anymore. How many guys, be honest, ever sat during a wedding with your phone in your lap, turn the volume down, watch a football game? Yeah. And it's porn. And you don't even have to be looking for it. There's so much porn in here, it's looking for you. Not long ago, my wife and I were trying to figure out where to go eat one night. I typed in delicious Italian near me. I'm like...
Jeff mimes holding his phone. He raises his eyebrows at it, then looks over his shoulder. He holds it up.
Mamma mia. That's a spicy meatball there. See, back in the good old days, porn was when one of your friends found a discarded Playboy magazine. And you would sneak it back to the secret clubhouse in the woods. Therefore, the password. And maybe if you're into porn, now is the good old days, because it took two hands to hold that magazine, but only one hand to hold your phone.
Jeff holds up his phone with one hand.
And human beings being able to corrupt anything that is good have found such naughty things to do with this phone. People actually take pictures of their private parts and send them to other people, which is such a fabulous idea. What could possibly go wrong with an idea like that? See, back in the good old days, if I had wanted to send my girlfriend a picture of my private parts, I would have had to have found a piece of notebook paper, put it on the edge of the kitchen table, waited until nobody else was home, ran over to the table, dropped my pants, laid Junior on the paper, take a pencil and trace him out. Then I would have had to have got a box of crayons, and it would have had to have been the 64 count box because that was the only one that had flesh tone in it. Color it in, fold that paper up, put it in an envelope, address it to my girlfriend, put a stamp on it, walk down the driveway, and put it in the mailbox to mail it to her. So 3 days later, she could call me and go, why did you send me a drawing of your thumb?
Jeff frowns as he mimes holding a phone to his ear.
Just not the sexy effect you're looking for. One of the things I missed the most during COVID was this, being on the road. I love to travel. My wife loves to travel. And when it became evident that we weren't going to be going anywhere for a while, my wife ordered a bunch of travel magazines. And so one night I'm sitting at home flipping through one of her travel magazines, and I found an article in there that was written by a woman trying to teach other women how to pack for a 10-day trip using only a carry-on suitcase. Let me repeat that. A woman packing for 10 days using only a carry-on suitcase. And I thought, what woman is she talking about? Barbie? My wife couldn't pack for a nudist colony in a carry-on suitcase. And now the airlines only let you take one carry-on. Well, if I'm with my wife, she'll have two, and I have whatever I can fit in my pockets. But I thought it was interesting because we live in an age where people try to make everything sexist, that this article was just written to women. She didn't say men. Because I think men could do 10 days in a carry-on. Could you do it? I could do it. You might be burning the socks and the underwear, but I could do it. Because I think most men probably pack like I pack. Like, I'll walk in my closet and I think, okay, I'm about to be out for 3 days. 3 days means three pairs of socks, three pairs of underwear, three shirts, another pair of blue jeans in case I spill something on these, toothbrush, razor blade, boom, ready to go. 10 seconds of well thought out packing. That's how I pack. Now, when I go on vacation with my wife, and let me say this right up front, I love being on vacation with my wife. Because my wife is a lot more friendly on vacation than she is at home. Something about having numbers on the door seems to light her fire. The same girl that won't look at me twice at home, you get numbers on the door, she is hanging the trapeze before the bell hops to the ice machine. Love being on vacation with my wife. It's getting to vacation that is the challenge. Because it takes my wife longer than 10 seconds to pack. It takes her days to pack. Because she has outfits. There's not a man in this room that has an outfit. But my wife has to put together an outfit for every day we're going to be gone. Plus additional outfits in case we go out somewhere nice to dinner. Plus reserve outfits in case some of the starters get hurt. So this takes a lot of time and work. So 2 or 3 days before we're even supposed to leave, my wife will start pulling clothes out of the closet, and she'll lay them on the bed like flat Stanley mannequins. And she just stares at them.
Jeff stares down, rubbing his chin and lips.
Sometimes she'll call me and, come here, I need your help. Okay, I am down to these two outfits. Which one do you like the best? One on the left. Are you kidding me?
Jeff looks aside and crosses his arms.
What's wrong with the one on the right? Nothing wrong with it. I like that one on the left.
Imitating his wife, Jeff shifts his gaze.
I love that one on the right. You know what? Now that I start thinking about it, I think I really like that one on the right. No, you don't. You're just saying that. Now, I don't know what to do. I know what to do. I'm going to go jump in front of a bus. You stand here and stare at this for a while. And see, the difference between us is once I have my clothes packed, I'm packed. With my wife, her clothes, that's just the foundation. Her packing is like an archaeological dig. There's many, many layers to it. Because once she has all the outfits picked out, now she has to go back and pick out the jewelry that goes with each particular outfit. If you watch court TV, that's what they call the jewelry selection process. Next layer is the shoes. The shoes take a long, long time. She doesn't like to be apart from her shoes. She spends longer picking shoes for vacation than we spent picking names for our children. I hope to God she never has to choose between her shoes and me. Because I could see the surgeon going, well, Miss Foxworthy, we can save Jeff's life. But in order to do it, you would have to get rid of all of your shoes.
Jeff gapes and covers his mouth. He hangs his head, pressing his hand against his forehead. Mouth agape, he fiddles with the tips of his fingers. He lowers his gaze and licks his lips.
He said he wants to be cremated. I'm gonna need some new shoes for that ceremony. Next layer is the electronics. Because one time we went on vacation and the hotel didn't have a hair dryer. So now my wife never packs a suitcase without packing a hair dryer. But she also packs a hair curler and a hair straightener. I'm like, don't they cancel each other out? Then she will pack that lighted makeup mirror where one side has 12 times magnification. Nobody needs to look at their face magnified 12 times. At 12 times magnification, a wrinkle looks like an irrigation ditch. A blackhead looks like a manhole cover. And God forbid she find a chin hair. Trust me, you're not getting a girl out the door that sees something on her chin that looks like the anchor rope to a battleship. Do you know I have never, ever looked at my face in the 12 times magnification mirror? Okay, to be totally honest, a couple of times I did get out of the shower and pause in front of it just for a minute.
Jeff takes a few steps, then stops. As if eyeing himself in a mirror, he puts his hands on his hips and smiles. He crosses his arms, then turns slightly and leans back.
Buenos dias, señor enchilada grande.
He smirks to himself.
Next layer for my wife, it's a total feminine phenomena. It's the just-in-case layer. Like she'll always pack a little raincoat and a travel umbrella just in case it rains. I'm like, baby, I checked the forecast. There's less than a 5% chance any day we're going to be there. Okay, fine. I don't know what you're going to do if it rains. Like I do, I'll probably go back inside. She'll always pack a sweater or a light jacket just in case it gets cold at night, as it so often does in Orlando in July. Anybody else have a wife or girlfriend that does this one? My wife will pack like a collapsible soft-sided suitcase inside of the hard-sided suitcase. People pointing at each other. Just in case I buy something while we're there. And if you're a gambling man, take the over on my wife buying something while we're there. And I have never looked inside the collapsible suitcase, but I'm willing to bet there's a smaller collapsible suitcase inside of it. My wife always loads up a gallon Ziploc bag full of medicine just in case somebody gets sick. One time I was playing in Buffalo. It was like February. They had snow up to here. I had a little bit of a headache. I go unzip the medicine bag. We've got malaria pills. Thankfully missed the great malaria outbreak in Buffalo that winter. And I tell her, I say, baby, I love you to death. I said, this is where your packing just starts getting out of control. So the last time we were getting ready for vacation, I walked in the bedroom. I caught her rooting through my suitcase. She pulled out a 5-pound bag of oats. She's like, uh-huh. She goes, what is this for? I said, oh, that. I said, that is just in case the two donkeys we're going to need to carry your luggage get hungry while we're gone.
Jeff shakes his fist beside his waist as if holding oats.
And actually, she packs light for airline travel as opposed to if we're going on vacation in the car. If we're going on vacation in the car, there's a fine line between packing and moving. But my wife and daughters think it is their obligation to fill that SUV to the roof. And the way they pack a car would make a man lay in the floor and cry. They'll bring out a bag with bread and potato chips, put it on the bottom, then put three suitcases on top of it. I'm like, if you want me to live, please let me do this. Because there's an art to packing the car, is there not? My dad taught me, you do suitcase Tetris, flip them, spin them, turn them upside down. When he would get finished, you couldn't get a piece of notebook paper between anything in that vehicle. My dad could get a house full of furniture into the trunk of a Buick. Hold the jack, hand me the piano. I got this son of a gun now.
Jeff mimes lifting something.
And like my daddy, once I get that car packed, I'm ready to go. Not my wife. Oh, no, we can't go yet. The car's packed. Why can't we go? Because I got to straighten up the house.
Jeff's mouth drops open.
Wait, do what? Well, I'm not going to be able to have a good time if I know I'm going to be coming back to a messy house.
He goes to speak and holds up a hand, then presses it against his side.
Well, why didn't you straighten it up the last couple of days? Because I had to pack. Which in a nutshell is why men die before women. Because we want to. We have been married for 36 years. My wife still, thank you. She still doesn't understand that my primary objective when going on vacation in the car is to get to wherever we are going in the shortest recorded time in human history. That's all I'm trying to do. Now, I've learned through the years my wife's objective on a vacation trip in the car is to consume enough liquid where she will have to pee every 15 minutes, therefore destroying my objective. And my wife will never have to go to the bathroom until we've just passed an exit. Then she's like, oh, I got to go, and I got to go really, really bad. I'm like, well, you will really, really get your chance in 44 miles because that's how far it is to the next exit. Well, she will not go between exits. And every man in this room has been between exits. Nobody had to teach us how to do it. We came out of the womb with this knowledge. You pull the car off the side of the road, you get out and you check the air in the right front tire.
Jeff throws a look over his shoulder as he moves toward the stool. He reaches toward his crotch and bends over and mimes checking a tire. He looks over his shoulder again, then turns away and bounces his right knee rapidly.
It's that easy, isn't it? And ladies, you could do this. Yes, you could change it from the right front to the right rear tire.
Jeff moves daintily toward the stool. He casts a few glances toward the audience, then squats down with his back to them. He throws another glance toward the audience, then rubs the stool as if checking a tire. Still squatting, he hops up and down on his feet.
I hope you guys have had fun tonight. You know, it's... Thanks. Yeah, I'm such a blessed man because I've gotten to do this for a long, long time. And I've gotten to do a lot of different things. I mean, whether it's write books or, you know, like host Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader or different things. And so, you know, I've never been bored, but if anybody put a gun to my head and said, you got to pick one thing, without hesitation, it would be doing this. I love stand-up because this is what I see when I do this.
Jeff faces the audience and chuckles. He points to the space beside him.
That's what you did. You did that. And every night I'm like, thank God it's not just my family. Other people are doing this too. None of us have it figured out. Everybody's family is crazy. The only negative thing I've ever found about this job is you're on the road by yourself, which was why doing something like the Blue Collar Comedy Tour, it was so much fun because I wasn't on the road by myself. I was with my buddies. And people will always say, oh, I bet y'all have so many funny stories from when y'all are on the road together. And there's a ton of them. And I'm not going to tell one on the other guys because they're not here to give their side of it and, you know, make it twice as funny. But I will tell you one funny road story about me that we can leave on tonight. So not the summer of 2020, the summer of 2019, I was doing a bunch of summer dates with Larry the Cable Guy. And in the summer, you get used, get her done, yeah. So when you do shows in the summer, you get used to being hot because it's usually, you know, festivals or fairs or amphitheaters. We did a music festival in Phoenix. It was 112 degrees the day we did it. And the promoter's trying to make us feel good. He's like, come on, y'all, it's a dry heat. I'm like, so is the electric chair. It's 112. Yeah. But Larry and I did this show one night, and it was in the South, and I'm not going to tell you the name of the city because somebody's probably talented enough to go online and find a security camera that could verify this. But it wasn't just hot, it was humid. And you can see, I don't sweat very much, but this night, 10 minutes into the show, I am dripping. I mean, it's just dripping off my nose. 30 minutes into the show, I look like I'm in a wet t-shirt contest. I mean, like somebody sprayed me with a fire hose. I don't think I've ever sweated that much in one night. So when the show was over, you know, I immediately go back to my dressing room and start guzzling Gatorade and water, trying to rehydrate. And we hardly ever eat before a show because it kind of makes you sluggish. So we're always hungry when the show is over. So I'm in my dressing room chugging the Gatorade, and I hear Larry the Cable Guy coming down the hall. Well, he swings into my doorway and he's like, "Hey, let's go eat." And Larry says this a lot. And I usually go because it's fun to watch Larry eat. I mean, he can go. But you know how you get when you get too hot? You don't feel like doing anything. And I said, "Dude," I said, "I got too hot tonight. I'm not hungry." I said, "I think I'm just going to go back to the hotel and go to bed." He's like, "Are you kidding me?" He goes, "I cannot wait until you ask me to do something for you." Like, what are you, 9 years old? This isn't personal. I got too hot. And so I got in the van. They took me back to the hotel. And anybody that makes their living on the road, you know, you have your little routine. Like, I always like it really dark in a room, so I'll turn the lights down low. I like it cool. I'll turn the thermostat down. But every day you're changing cities, and every hotel room's a little bit different. And so one of my tricks is I'll always turn the lights on in the bathroom, and I'll shut the door. But that way, if I have to get up in the middle of the night, at least I can orient to, you know, what this particular hotel room is like. And I usually sleep in my underwear, but this night they're soaking wet. And I told you, I only packed 3 pair, you know, so... And I'm like, I'm not sleeping in wet underwear, so I peel them off, and I flop in the bed naked, and I'm out. Well, I wake up about 1:30 in the morning, and I really, 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 really have to pee. Any guy over 40 knows what I'm talking about. You have to pee too much to go back to sleep. There's no way you're going back to sleep. But you don't really want to wake up. You just want to go get this act over with and get back in the bed. So I get up and got my eyes about half open. I see the light and I walk in there. Well, as soon as the door closes, I realize I'm in the hall. Of a really nice hotel without a stitch of clothes on. And you want to wake up in a hurry, this is the way to do it. Forget coffee, this is much faster. So I'm standing there with nothing on in the hall. I'm like Matt Damon in The Martian. Solve the problem. Solve the problem. Well, I knew Larry's room was straight across the hall from mine. So I run over there, and I'm knocking on his door, and he's not answering, and I can just picture him peeking through the keyhole and laughing. Well, as I'm knocking on his door, I hear the elevator ding. I'm like, well, I got a 50-50 shot. They're either going to come my way or they're going the other way. Well, these two Korean guys get off. They're talking to each other, and they turn, and they start heading right to me. I'm like, all right, what do? Act like nothing's up. So I start walking towards them. Literally pass them in the hall. I'm like, hey, how you doing?
Jeff waves.
And one of them said something. Which I really hoped meant, wow, that was impressive. But when I looked it up on Translator, I found out it meant, did you see her mustache? So I knew I couldn't get on the elevators. I know elevators have cameras on them. I don't want to get on the elevators. And I'm like, what the heck do I do? Well, I saw like the exit sign over the door for the stairwell. And I'm like, at least get out of the lighted hallway into the stairwell and then try to come up with a plan. And I'm hoping as I'm running down the hall that there'll be a trash can there with a trash bag that I can pull out and wear like a sundress, you know, or something. So I get into the stairwell and there's no trash can. And I'm trying to think my way through what to do, and I noticed there's a couple of empty beer cans on the floor. Well, the reason I got up in the first place was I had to pee. I have no idea how long I'm going to be in this stairwell, and I'm not proud of this, but I picked those beer cans up and I peed in them and put them back. I feel terrible about it. Because I know somewhere down the road, somebody's going to have to clean them up. But it was old Milwaukee, and I figure they'll pick them up and go, yeah, that's old Milwaukee, all right. So.
Jeff Mimes taking a sip.
But like I said, this was a really nice hotel. So they had 24-hour room service. And I thought, well, maybe somebody has put their room service tray outside the door, and I can get that cloth napkin that they put on it and wear it like a, you know, Tarzan thing or whatever. So I start going down the stairwell and stopping at every floor and looking down the hall to see if I can see a room service tray. And I get down about, I don't know, two or three floors, and I don't see a room service tray, but I see two pizza boxes outside somebody's room. Well, at this point, they look like a tuxedo to me. So I run down the hall, pick up the pizza boxes. I go back to the stairwell, and I go down the last couple of floors and never do find a room service tray. But by now, it's really late. It's like 2 a.m. And from the lobby level, I can crack the door open. I can see almost the entire lobby. I don't see anybody. I don't hear anybody talking. I think, all right, be brave for 20 seconds. Got one box in the front, one in the back, and I go skid.
Jeff Mimes covering up.
I go up to the desk. There's this woman working there, and as I approach, she looks up and she goes,
Jeff gapes, then pumps his eyebrows.
Can I help you? I said, yes, ma'am, you can. I said, I accidentally locked myself out of my room. Can I just get another key so I can get back in? And she goes, do you have any identification? I said, I do, but it's in my other pizza box.
Jeff smirks.
I'm like, no, I locked myself out of my room. I have nothing. And she said, well, I think I'm going to need to call a manager. And she goes behind the wall. And I'm thinking, she's not calling a manager. She's calling the cops. But it's 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm naked with a pizza box in front of my junk. What am I going to do? And as I'm waiting, all of a sudden the front doors to the hotel slide open. And in walks Larry the cable guy. And our tour manager.
He throws up his hands.
And I'm like, thank you, God, this is answered prayer. Now they come walking across the lobby. Again, I am naked, holding a pizza box. Larry walks up. He doesn't say, oh my gosh, bud, what happened to you? He looked at me. He looked at the pizza box. He goes, I thought you said you wasn't hungry. Been sitting here naked in the lobby eating pepperoni. I said, I accidentally locked myself out of my room. Well, about that time, here comes the front desk lady back, and now she's got a security guard with her. I said, Larry, I need you to do me a favor. Please tell her who I am so she can give me a key and I can get back in my room.
Jeff opens his mouth, then closes it.
He looked at me, and he looked at her, and he goes, I have never seen him before in my entire life. And he got on the elevator and went up. Now, thankfully, the security guard burst out laughing. He recognized both of us. This was like the nicest guy I think I've ever met in my life. And he got the emergency key. He rode up the elevator with me in the pizza box and walked me down the hall, let me in my room. I said, wait right here. I went and got my wallet. I gave him $100 bill. I'm like, thank you so much. Please never tell anybody about this. And now I'm telling y'all for free. Yeah. So I got back in my room. I put on my sweatpants and my t-shirt, made sure I had that room key in my pocket. And I waited about 10 minutes and I walked back across the hall and I knock on Larry's door. He opens the door, he's still laughing. He's like, he said, I told you I couldn't wait until you asked me to do something for you. I said, all right, you got me. I said, are we even? He's like, yeah, we're even. I said, well, just to prove I don't have any hard feelings, I went and got you a beer. You guys have been so great. God bless you.
Be safe. Take care of each other. Thank you for coming out. You guys are the best.
Audio description provided by International Digital Center. Written by Stephen Christopher. Voiced by Tony Gannon. Written and performed by Jeff Foxworthy. Executive producers, Jeff Foxworthy, Larry Burns, John Irwin. Directed by Ryan Polito. Co-executive producer, Casey Spira. Copyright 2022 Netflix Worldwide Entertainment, LLC. All rights reserved. Logo, Irwin Entertainment.
A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.